Helsing spent 25 years on the PGA Tour and is a lifetime member of the PGA Tour and PGA of America. Now he provides his unique perspective as a golfer and network broadcaster. It's time to go on the range with Jay Delsing.
Good morning. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I am your host, Jay Delsing, and I am near feet. I've got a stranger sitting next to me.
Call security.
All tanned up, ready to roll.
I'm not seeing much of a tan. I mean, I'm thinking, if I spend 6 weeks out in Arizona, I'm going to melt my hair off. You know, he doesn't look like he's done that.
It looks good. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. Well, I'm barely feeling welcomed back, so thank you very much.
We had a real elaborate welcome back party for you, and then we scrapped it.
Good. Probably a good plan.
Yeah, budget issues.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, Pearlie's back with me, and welcome back, Pearl. The show's formatted like a round of golf. The first segment is called On the Range, and On the Range is brought to you by Pro-Am Golf. You can check us out on our social media outlets. And, Pearl, I'm not going to put this kind of pressure on you to call our social media outlets after a long vacation.
I left, for the record.
I know, which was absolutely fun. But Twitter is at Jay Delsing. Facebook is Golf with Jay Delsing. And Jay Delsing Golf. LinkedIn is Jay Delsing. And the Instagram, nobody knows nor cares. All right. So, Pearl, we put together some fun stuff today. The thing that I wanted to start the show off with was, you know, kind of what's new in golf right now? What's going on in golf right now? And it's impossible for us to not talk even a little bit about Patrick Reed. He just won the World Golf Championship down in Mexico City.
I want to talk about that. He played spectacular.
That's what I want to talk about. This man, okay, we got a whole closet full of issues with this dude. He brings a truck full of drama with him wherever he goes.
Some of it's new, but it's the same old story.
Yeah. Went from Captain America to Captain Controversy everywhere he goes. However, he knows how to close a golf tournament down.
Yeah, he's tough, man. He's tough.
Yeah. It was a great finish, too. Bryson DeChambeau
He's tough.
Is not going to go away.
No.
And he's made a complete body transformation. He's gained what? Almost 30 pounds, I think.
Yeah, I was actually up close and personal down in Tiger's tournament down in the Bahamas.
Oh, that's right. You were at the Bahamas, too. Were we at the Bahamas?
Yeah, I did not, not get that invite.
No, I didn't either.
Hey, listen, there's seats on that plane I was flying down there on.
Is that missed phone call that we had?
I guess. I thought I missed a call from Pearlie, but it was like 3 months ago.
Yeah, you know, by the way, it was an invite from an old college teammate. So Alberto didn't. I thought maybe you were invited. You just couldn't make it.
Alberto Valenzuela. We're just giving you trouble. Anyway, so go ahead. But up close and personal.
First of all, what a personable guy.
Yeah.
I had never spoken to him. You see him on TV, they make him out to be this mad professor and stuff like that. He just kind of comes walking up to our table, sits down, has a cocktail, and we're just kind of talking stuff. He couldn't have been calmer. Alberto knew him fairly well, so they kind of carried on a conversation. Just a nice guy. Yeah, in person, he doesn't look like the Hulk, but he's obviously beefed up.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of people, as usual, why is he doing that? He shouldn't do this. He shouldn't do that. Well, guess what? He's hitting it further. He's done what he wants. He believes what he's doing. And it's just a matter of time for him to break through again.
Pearl, our good buddy Brandel Chamblee, who has never been one to not say whatever the hell he wants or whatever's on his mind, said something to Rory. I remember it was probably a year ago now, though, where he goes, and look at what happened to Tiger when he got so. And I'm thinking to myself, what happened to Tiger? He got hit in the head with a nine iron, but that didn't have anything to do with him lifting weights. He was comparing Rory getting too bulked up to getting bulked up to Tiger's game, what it did to Tiger's game. And I'm thinking,
by the way,
I think it did a lot of good for Tiger's game. And Rory's got to be thinking, I hope that happens to me.
Well, I was going
to
say, by the way, Rory has absolutely trimmed it up, beefed it up, and done whatever the heck you do to get like that.
Yep.
And he looks like he's kept his flexibility and everything else, and he's just out there bombing it. I think Rory likes to just walk out and just bomb it.
Well, if you hit your driver, if any of us in the room hit our driver, 1/100th as good as this guy does, it's ridiculous.
Well,
I want to hit it in this room right now if I could, just banging off the walls a couple of times.
Gary Woodland said,
and he was not happy about this comment. This is great.
He said Rory has hit it by him a couple times because Rory hits it higher, not because he hits it further.
So let's frame this a little bit. Down in Mexico City, they're playing at altitude. They're playing at almost 8,000 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the equivalent to like Vail, Colorado. And Gary is a low hitter, low ball hitter. That's why he's, you know, a force to be reckoned with when the swing turns to Florida and it gets windy. Rory is not. And when that ball launches up in the air like that, Gary said, Rory hit it by me a couple of times, 80 yards past me, and you could tell he was not happy about that at all.
He's not used to that.
Anyway.
But anyway, Reed doesn't hit the ball far.
No.
Reed's got some funky things going on. But that guy can play, and he is a competitor.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I got to tell you, when I was doing the U.S. Open for Fox at Oakmont, the Dustin Johnson year he won, I had Bryson DeChambeau on, I think it was a Friday. And he came up to me, because I was talking to his caddy, he came up to me, knew who I was, called me Mr. Delsing, which really...
That's appropriate, because you're gray hair, I suppose, or really you're taller than he is, or something like that.
Distinguished, yeah, nah.
A little distinguished, I meant to say that, too.
Yeah, that, too. But no, to your point, personable, a little crazy with his approach, because it's so different, but I like it.
Yeah, well, again, it's kind of, it may be crazy isn't the way to, we'll call it unique, because it's not crazy, because it's working.
Right.
And I'm just waiting for the next guy to come up through the ranks with all the clubs being the same length and having his calculator in his back pocket.
He's got a couple of wheels. Did you see the little, it's almost like a ring that's about, maybe 3 inches thick. And he's got a couple of those on his bag, at least he did at the time. And he's got all sorts of formulas and things written down on little cards over there.
He talked to me, his caddy, because apparently his caddy needs to know some of those things.
You know,
relations and stuff like that.
You
didn't ask me for yardages. You sure as heck weren't going to ask me for relations.
No, that's one of the things that's funny. When Pearly caddy for me, you didn't do the yardage book.
Nope. You know, and that's one thing that was good, though, I think. Because when you could keep occupied with the yardages and all the other things going on and the birds chirping, you were in good shape.
Right. I needed a distraction.
You needed the right things to focus on. You didn't need to be free to catch distractions. I always did think
just
that was
his opinion. Yeah, folks, I know he's the caddy.
Well,
I don't
go try, check the record. I think it's a pretty solid record.
I think it is, too. We have to talk in Mexico. You know, it sort of looked after three rounds like this was going to be JT's event. I mean, he had a one-stroke lead after three rounds. John Rahm, got to be. How soon do you think it'll be before John Rahm's world number one?
Well, we've talked about this a little bit. To me, it's when can he take the next step towards, I don't know, I hate, you know, maturing, calming down, self-control, calming his mind a little bit, something in that ballpark. The guy he just bombs it. He is just aggressive as can be. It just seems to get a little out of his head a little bit, and it doesn't take much out there. The guy's spectacular, so I don't know. Jay, it could happen next week.
Yeah.
But we've watched him, and he addressed it, better part of a year and a half ago, that, hey, he said, I know I need to do some of this. So in the heat of the moment, can he do it? And he's starting to. He's getting off to some poor starts, coming back. He's stumbling, coming back. He's doing all the things that the great players do, because you know there's going to be issues when things get rough. It's not going to always go well for him. And once he accepts that and realizes that's part of it, I think he starts winning left and right because he's awesome.
Well, to your point, he shot 61, 10 under par third round last week to go right in the middle of the golf tournament. And if you looked at the leaderboard after about 6 or 8 holes on Sunday, he had the lead. So he reminds me, his golf swing reminds me the way he shallows on the way down, Pearl. Reminds me a little of Sergio Garcia, a fellow countryman,
right.
Spaniard. Great driver of the ball, John Rahm, for as long as he hits it. So Pearl, in your opinion, who's the best player in the world right now?
I have to say McIlroy. I just, and for so many reasons.
He is world number one also, currently.
But just the way he carries himself, just the way he walks. He sat there for the last couple of years. He worked on his body. He did some other things. He's kind of ebbing and flowing back up to the top. And you can tell the way, it's not Tiger-esque for sure, but you can tell the way some of the other guys talk about him, look at him, treat him. It's Tiger-like type level to where they realize this guy's just got stuff in his game that other people don't have.
From a ball-hitting standpoint, I would absolutely agree with you. From a putting standpoint...
I don't like it. I agree with you. It seems like a hold-on drag to me, a little bit, where the
There's face no gets taken a little bit to the left. You know, he went and worked with Fax, with Brad Faxon, trying to get on the show here. And
did he listen?
He did. He went the very next week and won the Bay Hill Arnold's tournament. Was it last year? I think he won by 4 or 5. Had a great closing back nine. But when I watch that putter, it just doesn't look flowy. It doesn't look like you said there isn't a release. There's not a release. It's a blocky kind of a hold off sort of thing. However, when he does get hot, he pretty much runs the tables and everybody's playing for second.
Agree. It just seems like that type of stroke can also get cold and you'd be out there and you're not sure what's happening because you're blocking and sometimes it's a block with a little bit of a cut. So it's not releasing, so this, your speed isn't quite where. So to me, there's two or three things.
Well, because you can block pull it. You can block anything.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And so I think it can get confusing. Obviously, if he works with facts, that's probably exactly where he should continue to spend more time.
Right. We'll talk about this when we come back, but there was an opposite field event down in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Victor Hovland got his first PGA Tour win, and just you and I are both fans of him. We've mentioned him on the show before. It was great to see, interesting on how he went about it, but let's do that on the front nine. That's going to wrap up the On the Range segment. Thanks to Pro-Am Golf for sponsoring the On the Range segment. Come back. Pearlie and I are going to be on the front nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
The Metropolitan Amateur Golf Association is a proud sponsor of Golf with Jay Delsing. The MAGA has been the USGA Allied Golf Association in the St. Louis Central and Southern Illinois region since 1992. The MAGA provides over 30 days of competition opportunities and conducts qualifying for 9 USGA championships while supporting more than 140 member clubs with amateur golf services. Find all of their information at metga.org or call 314-567-MAGA.
I want to tell you about a strength training fitness program that helped me and that can help you. It's called 20 Minutes to Fitness. They have two locations, one in Clayton and one in Chesterfield. Every time you go to the gym with 20 Minutes to Fitness, you work with a professional trainer. They take you through specific machines and with specific exercises that are designed to help your golf game. We're talking about strength, flexibility, and those two components are huge to help you improve your game. Visit 20minutestofitness.com. Your first session is absolutely free. Get off the couch and get in shape.
This is Dan McLaughlin, TV voice of the Cardinals. St. Louis is one of the best sports cities in the country. We also have a tremendous history of supporting professional golf. We're excited to bring professional golf back to St. Louis with the inaugural Ascension Charity Classic, September 28th through October 4th at beautiful Norwood Hills Country Club. Legends like Ernie Els, Fred Couples, Jim Furyk, Steve Stricker, and many more will be in St. Louis. For tickets and sponsorship information, head to AscensionCharityClassic.com. That's AscensionCharityClassic.com.
I'd like to thank Whitmore Country Club for sponsoring my show, Golf with Jay Delsing, on 101 ESPN. Whitmore has been a great partner as I enter my second year. If you are considering a great place for your family to hang out, you've got to go over to Whitmore Country Club. Go in the golf shop, see my friend Bummer. He'll tell you all you need to know about the kids' club, the golf, the tennis. They've got swim teams and leagues. There's anything you and your family could want at Whitmore Country Club. Visit them at WhitmoreGolf.com.
How is the relationship with your bank? Does it meet your expectations for what a bank should be? Are they a partner for you and your business, providing value beyond the products and services offered? Or is it just a holding place for your money? At St. Louis Bank, we want to be your banking partner. We believe in being more for you and your business than a placeholder for your money. Our team works to understand you so we can provide the ideal products and services for you and your business. And we're always just a call, text, or email away to provide the banking advice that you need. Because at St. Louis Bank, we know when you succeed, we all succeed. Isn't it time you get the banking partner you deserve? St. Louis Bank, let's move your business forward together. Find us online at stlouisbank.com, connect with us on LinkedIn, or call at 314-851-6200.
Grab your clubs. We're headed to the front nine on Golf with Jay Delsing.
The front nine is brought to you by the Ascension Charity Golf Classic.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I got Pearlie here with me. Meat is taking care of us here at the ESPN studios, running the board and timing us. And we're on the front nine, Pearlie. Let's talk about Whitmore real quickly. Man, they've been a great partner all of last year, all of this year. If you are looking for a country club to join that'll be just perfect for your family, you got to go to Whitmore Golf. You can find them at WhitmoreGolf.com. Bill Brundage is the membership director out there. His number, 636-926-9622. He'll show you around. There's 90 holes of golf. You can not only can you play the 36er at Whitmore, but you get access to the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, and the Golf Club of Wentzville. There's no cart fees associated with this membership. There's no food or beverage minimums. There's no assessments, no nothing like that. They got a 24-hour fitness center, a large pool complex, tennis courts. You got to go in and see our buddy Bummer. Bill will take you into Bummer, introduce you to Bummer, everything golf. He is running junior golf leagues. He's running skin games, members tournaments, couples events. They've got everything you need golf-wise out there. They've got everything for tennis. They've got a kids club for your children. You drop your kids off, you go have a cocktail, go have dinner, go play golf. Your kids are well looked after. Whitmore Golf is your place. Want to play golf in 2020? Go see them.
I just love that they've got so many different courses to play. I just think that's a big deal. Nowadays, you know, you don't need to just play one golf course all the time. You can go out and play a bunch of them. I think that's awesome.
And how good is that for your game?
It's phenomenal for your game.
Way better for your game.
Changes scenery, too. I love it.
Okay. All right, Pearl. So, Victor Hovland.
Yep.
He wins the Puerto Rican Open. Dramatic fashion. Holds a 30, 35-foot putt. And, folks, if you haven't heard the Norwegian golf call of this putt going in, it goes for probably a little too long. It goes for like a minute and a half, but there are two men on here screaming in some sort of Norwegian, you know,
jargon.
Language that's just kind of like it's a complete cluster.
They had so much excitement, which we're going to hear in a second, but I have to say, when I watched Victor walk off the green, I'm not sure he really knew what happened. He was kind of in shock. His caddy was all pumped up, of course, right? Huge win, first win, et cetera, et cetera. But Victor, it's like his caddy had to shake him and hug him and push him around a little bit to where he realized what was going on. He was in shock.
He looked like a deer in headlights, like he was stunned. And then all of a sudden, you could see it. I don't know what the time situation was, how much time had gone on, but he was almost like, whoa.
Plus, they didn't talk about this, of course, because the putt went in. If that putt misses the hole,
it's still going. It's still going.
He better make a huge one coming back, or he's going to really be bummed that he not only didn't make the putt to win, he would have had somewhere, what, Jay, 6 feet, 8 feet?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
10
yeah.
feet?
Yeah.
I don't know enough about the green.
Yep. All right, let's take a listen to this real quick.
Nå det bare å glamre seg fast her. Petter for Norges første PGA Tour seier er Victor Hovland.
So they are super pumped, and right at the same time, Victor's like he just got in complete shock, didn't know what was going on. Very cool story.
Didn't know what happened. Yep, very cool. So this is a kid that went to school with Matthew Wolf, Oklahoma State, another one of these young guys.
Who already had a win.
Right. Matthew Wolf won his third event on the PGA Tour. This is his Victor Hovland's 17th event, and he gets his win. Who else do we have? We've got Neiman from Chile has won an event. And we also have Colin Murakawa from Cal, who also has a win. He won out in Reno Tahoe. So it's
good,
yeah, there
good,
are some
good group coming up. That's for sure.
And these are young guys. These are what? None of them is over 22, I don't believe.
And Victor, he's got that little boy look, like it's just so much fun to play golf.
Yep, he does.
And he's got some funky movement a little bit in his game, but he doesn't have any question in his belief or himself.
Nope.
I don't believe.
Nope.
And what you and I were talking about, he made a triple bogey earlier in his round, the 11th hole.
A par three with no water.
You know that golf course.
Yep.
So not that I really want to see that, but I'm trying to think out how would you make a triple bogey and a par three with no water? Was there an OB over there someplace?
Well, unless he shanked one. I mean, you could have.
Well,
but I don't believe so.
Let's not talk about that. But anyway.
I don't believe so.
He survived a triple bogey and still comes back. That's a big deal. You're talking about a level of confidence. In other words, you know you can go in a PGA Tour event, make a triple, and still win.
We're not talking about a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday either, Pearl.
Right.
We're talking about a triple bogey on Sunday with only seven holes left and still win. So that's resilience. He's young. He's got a great look.
My point is he knows he doesn't have to be perfect to win. That's a big deal because you don't have to be perfect to win. But until you win, you don't realize you don't have to be perfect to win.
Yep, that's right. All right, so let's talk about this is kind of fun. So I came across this article, this story. It was an old golf week about the PGA Tour versus the LPGA Tour and money and travel. And so what this thing did was it took a player who finished 50th on each money list, all right, and broke down their money, their travel, their expenses.
Each money list, tell, say what you mean
so
by
the
that.
PGA Tour money list, yep. It took the 50th player.
LPGA money list.
And the 50th player on the LPGA.
European money list.
Money list.
And guys and women's European money list.
Right.
Yep.
And so, first of all, the PGA Tour prize money list for 50th place on the money list was $2.15 million. They added another $600,005 for FedEx Cup bonuses and additional earnings through sponsorships and things like that. Now we go to the LPGA player. Their total prize money for 50th place was $420,000 plus an additional $60,000. So this woman is making $480,000 and this man is making $2.75 million. Okay?
I can't wait to see where you're going to go with this. I just can't wait.
Okay, so what, one of the things that I found so fascinating to me was the expenses.
Okay, let's go over expenses.
So here's what the guy's expenses look like.
Mm-hmm.
Hotels, $55,000 a year. That's fine.
So when you and I were traveling, we did not spend that kind of money in hotels. So I don't know where this guy's staying, but Motel 6, you can't spend $55,000.
They're
next.
Staying at a place $300
next.
A night, Pearl. We would have owned Motel 6.
That was a week. That was a week stay for the executive suites.
Yeah,
okay.
We were usually
next.
Staying. I mean, we stayed at like Red Roof Inn and Spas, and we stayed at like the Motel 6 Racquet Club and things
like that. I
remember
when Motel 6 was $6, and there was four of us in there, and we were fighting over who had to round out the dollars.
That was in college. That was
yeah,
not, not
Bakersfield.
Pretty.
I
not
absolutely
pretty.
Remember
yeah,
that.
Not pretty. Yeah,
me,
but,
you, Ken Teal, and yep. Some other schmuck who was sleeping in the closet.
The first room hotel I ever stayed at on my first trip at UCLA, it was in Palo Alto. We were playing in Stanford's tournament, and it was called the Glass Slipper.
Don't even go there. Oh. Don't stay at the Glass Slipper.
The Glass Slipper.
My mother came out one time for like a week, 2 weeks, and just kind of wanted to see what this is about. She'd come see me play golf once in a while, but she wanted to like travel. So, you know, we go to the practice round, we drive in, go to the practice round, go have a bite to eat, go to the Motel 6. The second night there, she looks at me, she's like, "Do you really like this?" I said, "What are you talking about?" She says, "Look at this room. Look at this." I said, "What about the room?" She says, "There's hair in the bed."
Yeah.
I said, "Mom, I don't see the hair
whatever,
in the bed. Just go to sleep."
Don't bring that up, man.
But for the record, that's the last time she came out of the room. She was always very supportive, and she'd come watch golf. But she wasn't going to travel in the Motel 6. And that's when it was only her and I in the room. I didn't tell the other three guys that could come, so
right,
she had it easy.
Right. She did. All right, so then we got $30,000 in airfare, which, I'm not sure the 50th guy.
You told me caddies weren't allowed to fly, so there's another misnomer right there.
Burley took the train, meaty. He was on Amtrak.
Yeah, Greyhound or train.
The airfare, $30,000.
Here's the next one. Here's the next category.
We're skipping the caddy fees.
No, we're not skipping the caddy fees.
$200,000 gets paid to the caddy.
I caddy for you for 15 years. It didn't come to $200,000. I caddy for you for 15 years. It didn't come to $20,000.
No, I don't think you were that.
I'm still waiting for my gas money when I drove from Amarillo to Newport that time. I mean, come on.
Amarillo to Newport. I don't think I played. I think you're working for somebody else. $200,000 caddy fees. $60,000 for your swing coach.
See, I helped you a little bit with your swing, too, and I saw none of that.
You didn't help me that well. $40,000 for the trainer. $50,000 for your mental coach. Wait a second.
$75,000. There was problems right there, trainer and mental coach. And you wonder why you couldn't have why you weren't competing out there at the level that you wanted to?
You know, like I put mine together and I only had three categories, you know, and caddy wasn't one of them. No, I'm looking at $75,000 to your agent. You know what? I'd have gladly given $75,000 to my agent if he brought me all this dough, but I didn't have an agent that was doing that. $25,000 for meals. That's assuming we ate.
Oh, yeah. You can't spend that much money at Denny's and McDonald's.
No,
period. End of story.
$5,000 for the
I wonder
accountant.
Where my bad cholesterol came from. Now I know.
Okay. So So, man, taking a lot of heat for a lot of things for a lot of years. The write-off, so that's
wait a second, are we done? What about the accountant?
Who needs an accountant?
You would sit in your room, and when you would bring your paperwork and your accounting, your bills and stuff with you, I'm thinking to myself, you've got to be kidding. We're supposed to be focused on golf. He's sitting up in bed at night. I'm trying to watch ESPN or some stupid show or sleep.
That's a whole difference. We're never going to get to the subject that we started this.
This is the subject.
You were so uptight. I'm doing my world so I don't have to pay some accountant to do this for me.
Oh, my God. We might make two more putts that next day, and you wouldn't need to pay your accountant. You'd have more money. You wouldn't have to pay attention to it anymore.
What's he talking about?
I'm staying out of this.
Who slept great every night?
Me.
And who was?
I did all the work carrying that damn bagger on the course.
You were worried about losing my bag and couldn't find the
yes,
golf course and lost
true.
Your tennis shoes and carried for the wrong guy and
that's
stuff
true.
Like that. Anyway, $526,000 of write-offs, $936,000 in taxes. The bottom line for the PGA Tour player, $1.271 million. Okay, here's the LPGA. We've got hotels of $22,000, airfare of $11,000, which I don't know how, if you look at the LPGA schedule, you're going to travel on $11,000 to all the different countries. They go to half a dozen different countries, Pearl. They're all over the place. I don't know how they do that. $5,000 for rental cars. You don't see that category on the regular tour because we get a car every week. Meals of $10,000. The girls aren't eating quite as much. $76,000 to the caddy, and that's because they didn't earn as much. $15,000 for your swing coach and instruction. Mental coach is $4,500. Trainers, $5,000. And $12,000 goes to your agent and a little bit of accounting. So we got $165,000 for write-offs. She's paying $124,000 in taxes. And her bottom line take-home is $182,000 compared to $1.271 for the men.
That's a great living.
It's a great living. Both of them are great living.
Sure.
Yeah. I think the thing that just shocked me when I did this was how much more money overall the PGA Tour is playing for, is raising money. The PGA Tour is, as we've talked about, just such a dynamic charitable engine that just makes all sorts of money. But, man, this is a hell of a disparity between the men and the women. What's your take?
I think it's appropriate.
You don't think the girls should be playing for more?
No, I think it has to do with, it's capitalism, right? How many people are watching the girls play golf?
Right.
Phoenix, I'm just down in Phoenix, 3 weeks ago, basking in the sun for a month and a half, but we'll leave that behind us a little bit. And
is he rubbing that in?
I felt it a little bit.
Phoenix Open, I believe it is the largest attended sports event in the United States.
No doubt.
I think, and this isn't to disparage the ladies at all, but I think you could probably put 10 or 15 of their events, and it doesn't total what happens at the Phoenix.
So, question.
I think they've got to figure out how to promote it. They've got to figure out how to get more people interested. If you've got, I don't know the numbers, Jay, and I wish right now that I would have done that. If their attendance is one measurement of people showing up, or viewership on TV is 1/10 or 1/5. Well, these numbers are about right, as far as how much money and stuff they're playing with. So I think it's relative. I read the article, and so they're talking, well, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. Somebody that rises up and has tiger-like stuff.
So one of the things that I noticed, because I follow the LPGA Tour, Alberto Valenzuela and his daughter. Alban is going to be a star out there, I believe. Went to Stanford. She's in a rookie year, played a few events, and doing okay. But just their website, just some of the things that could be cleaned up. I've got an interview coming with Kay Cockrell. She's a UCLA All-American. She's a two-time U.S. amateur champion, stalwart on the Golf Channel from
Wonderful
the very
lady.
Beginning. A great, great person. And we talked a little bit about this. And there's just so many little things for the LPGA that could be cleaned up that can, I think, could go a long way. And their website is one of them. It's just hard to get through. You can't, you can't pull up what you're looking for and things like that. And I just don't know if it's because is it all money-based, Pearl? Is the reason that the website and things like that are lacking
No, this they are not in poverty. There's no reason they can't have those things. And some of the cool things that they have done is they have that incredible international flair and how much they play in different parts of the world. They're doing a lot of right things. I love what you're saying because, to me, that's business. If you don't take care of the little things and you want the big things to happen in business, it doesn't happen that way. So, you know, I haven't dug in the way you're talking about, but I think maybe that's something Kay can give her opinions on as well. But if they're leaving a bunch of those types of things not professionally done on the side, then that's stuff that they need to do to support whatever growth they do want to have.
You know what? Let's take a break real quick, and we'll rejoin this conversation on the back nine. Come back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
The 100,000-watt blowtorch for St. Louis sports, driven by Auto Centers Nissan, home of the 30-day return. WXOX and WXOX HD1, East St. Louis, 101 ESPN.
In 1975, Pro-Am Golf began providing golf equipment to companies in the incentive and rewards industry. Now, some 48 years later, Pro-Am Golf is still the leader there, but there is so much more. They now have their own retail outlet, as well as state-of-the-art computers and cameras that customize all of your personal fitting needs. Pro-Am Golf carries all of the major brands, from Titleist, Callaway, Ping, and TaylorMade, to the latest fashion trends by Puma Golf. Whatever your needs, Pro-Am Golf will meet them and add the very best customer service in the industry. Call them at 314-781-7775 or find them at proamgolfctr.com.
I want to take a minute to tell you about a law firm that has been with me since the inception of the show. I'm talking about Doster, Olam, and Boyle. The firm was started in 2015 by Mike Doster, Jess Olam, and John Boyle. These are three veterans of the St. Louis real estate, banking, commercial, and corporate legal landscape. The firm has a talented additional roster of professionals with decades of experience to help you achieve your goals in whatever situation you find yourself in. The firm was founded on the shared goals that success has to be measured by client and community satisfaction, not just profits for the partners. These guys are involved in the community, they live in the community, and they care about the community. Since its founding in 2015, Doster, Olam, and Boyle have been involved in real estate, business, and corporate transactions with over $1 billion in combined value. Their areas of practice will overlap, and the firm's attorneys will take their time to get to know you and your situation so that they can guide you and point you in the direction that you need to go. Doster, Olam, and Boyle, extraordinary talent, ordinary people. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Everyone is looking for the extra edge, and Jay Delsing is digging deep to find it. It's the Leading Edge on Golf with Jay Delsing.
I am with Kurt Rowe, who is the executive director of the Metropolitan Amateur Golf Association. So, Kurt, I'm on your site. It's METGA.org. And, man, I just go up and down. We've got stuff on the World Handicap System. We've got stuff about the 2020 U.S. Amateur Four Ball. We've got some honors from Shoghi that has been with us in the golf community forever and is just a character and a wonderful guy. There's internships. There's a little bit of everything for anybody who loves a game of golf on your site.
Yeah, well, we feel that our site's kind of the hub for amateur, golf in this region. Whether it's people who are interested in playing in our championships or getting the, obtaining a membership, they can find out information from our member clubs. We've got 140 plus member clubs in the St. Louis, Central, Southern Illinois regions. They can get information from there. Just always trying to update it and keep it fresh and, show what we're out there doing and the services that we're providing to the clubs and golfers. So,
yeah, that's right. And Kurt, so let's talk a little bit about your championships that are going to run. Tell us what the slate looks like.
Yeah, so we'll do 11, I think it's 11 of our own championships in 2020, everywhere from kind of our kickoff event is the Old Washington Cup, which is it is at Old Washington Country Club every year. It's our match play championship. It features the top 16 players from last year's Player of the Year point system. So it's really the best players in the region for 2019 compete in that. We've got a women's championship, junior championship, a nine-hole championship, which we started last year, which I think took off pretty well. It was pretty popular. And so we're looking forward to that again this year at Baldwin Golf Course. Four-ball championship and then and a senior championship. In addition to three weekend events, Eastside Amateur, Southern Illinois Amateur, and Normandy Amateur. But our two flagship events are definitely our Open Championship, which this year is going to take place at Lake Forest. It's a 54-hole event that we're attracting golf professionals from 30 states, and they play for a very nice purse. And then our Amateur Championship, which is celebrating its 30th season this year, 30th edition, that's going to be at Meadowbrook Country Club in August. And that's really our flagship event that, you know, that really even the Golf Association started on back, you know, 30 years ago. So a great lineup, a lot of great venues. I've mentioned Owarson, Meadowbrook, Lake Forest, Westboro, Algonquin, St. Clair Country Club. So we're very fortunate. Our member clubs are very good to us, and we appreciate them, you know, stepping up and hosting, you know, all of our championships, you know, each season.
Folks got to get onto your site and check out just all of the different opportunities. Let's talk a little bit about the GIN system, the Metropolitan E-Club, which is a great opportunity. If you are not a member of a local country club, you can still get involved in this handicap system. And then the rollout of the World Handicap System in 2020.
Yeah, so, you know, one of our key services that we provide to golfers and clubs is the GIN handicap service, which is through the USGA. And then that's tied into the World Handicap System. There's two ways you can obtain a membership. And that's one through one of the clubs in the area. So the private clubs all have it, and almost all the public facilities, you can go to one of them and get a membership and get that GIN handicap service. Or you mentioned we do have the Metropolitan E-Club, which is strictly online. You can go right to our website and join that way and still get all the same benefits. Get the handicap index, get the eligibility to participate in all of our championships, including our amateur series, and several other benefits. Our newsletter that goes out 8 times a year, twice a month, you get an e-revision that shows your updated index. A lot of great opportunities, and for the listeners of the Golf with Jay Delsing show, we've got a banner ad right on the homepage now. You can click right on there. That's going to take you directly to the registration site, and you know, hopefully we can get some of these listeners signed up and get them on the path to maintaining an index here in 2020.
Thanks for doing it for us. Keep doing it for us, and thanks for being involved in the show.
Jay, it's our pleasure.
The Metropolitan Amateur Golf Association is a proud sponsor of Golf with Jay Telsing. The MAGA has been the USGA Allied Golf Association in the St. Louis Central and Southern Illinois region since 1992. The MAGA provides over 30 days of competition opportunities and conducts qualifying for 9 USGA championships while supporting more than 140 member clubs with amateur golf services. Find all of their information at metga.org or call 314-567-MAGA.
We're halfway there. It's time for the Back Nine on Golf with Jay Delsing. The Back Nine is brought to you by St. Louis Bank.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. We are headed to the Back Nine, brought to you by our friends at St. Louis Bank. And, okay, so Pearl, let's jump back into this conversation. We're comparing monies and travel and things like that, LPGA versus PGA Tour players. It was an old Golf Week magazine taking the 50th ranked player in each on each tour, and the thing that hit me first and foremost was the difference in the cash, you know. But when I, you know, so playing the tour, I've actually finished 50th on the money list 1 year, and I made just less than $300,000, you know. And hell, I thought I was.
That was a ton.
It just felt like it was a ton, and I look at some of these expenses. One of the things that happens, folks, you go out to a PGA Tour event, and any of you guys that had the opportunity to go to Belle Reve, watch the PGA Championship in August of 2018, you probably noticed walking down the fairways in a practice round on the PGA Tour and the PGA Championship for a threesome or a foursome, there's anywhere between 35 and 50 people walking down the fairway. And one of the reasons is, you know, guys are bringing their girlfriends to a practice round. Guys are bringing their trainers out on the golf course with them. Their mental coaches, their agents are out there. It's become so big. And so
It's
their team, and they talk about that. And I get that. And look, one of the reasons there is a team, and I do too, is because this cat made $2.75 million last year.
Mm-hmm.
And he finished 50th, okay? terrific. He needs a team and all this. It's wonderful. But from a playing standpoint, Pearl, I hated all that crap going on during the practice round. There were times where I was way distracted in practice rounds, and we get playing with buddies and have fun and things like that. But typically, we were playing. We were either gambling or we were seeing the golf course for the first time or the second time, trying to make notes. When you were caddying for me, I felt like we got a hell of a lot out of our practice rounds.
We definitely did. We definitely did. It worked a lot in the short game around the greens. Absolutely.
One of the things that that I help some of the younger guys that are coaching and stuff now is to go to a spot or look for things that are kind of atypical from what you see generally speaking, but are found all over the place at this particular course. For example, if you go down to Pinehurst, okay, and you're going to have to try to figure out how to hit some sort of sandy little bump and runny sort of shots because that's everywhere out there. You know, you're just somewhere along the line in the course of 72 hole event, you're going to hit your ball
absolutely
in those spots. And you know, we did a great job of that, I think.
Every course has its little idiosyncrasies. And as you're saying, for the most part, it's within 40, 50 yards of the green.
Right.
That if you're not plugging into that, it's not going to be a good week.
Do you remember the time when we were in New Zealand and they had the weirdest fringes over there? So, folks, the first 2 feet right off the edge of the green was cut down low and it was just fine. But they had almost 4 yards of like what we would call like an intermediate rough that was probably like 2.5 or 3 inches long, which was not like too treacherous necessarily, but we noticed right away that the ball would sit in some odd ways. And so we started playing 3 woods out of there. Do you remember?
I remember spending
a lot of time with that and then going in the tournament, having that come back and pay dividends straight away. On one long par three, we had a really good-looking shot in there that just went over the back and had this hairy little downhill shot, and we handled it. And I remember going, that's why we spend so much time doing that.
Right.
Yep. Anyway, so my takeaway on this is I really believe when I started looking at this article and what I came back with are two different things. I really believe I'd really love to see the LPGA play for more money. I really love to see they're doing some phenomenal stuff. They're the sponsorships for some of these women have when they take maternity leave. These companies are honoring some of their commitments and saying, yeah, we're gonna pay you through having this child so that you can get back and represent us. And that happened to Stacey Lewis and Brittany Lincecum and things like that. And something that we would never have to deal with on the regular tour. But what I hope that the LPGA can take themselves to the next level, you know, in terms of I really hope that somewhere along the line we get a U.S. player that can light the world on fire and compete with some of the basically the South Koreans because they're just so dominant.
Well, there's plenty of good U.S. players coming up. We mentioned Albin Valenzuela. Obviously, she's very new coming out there, but there's quite a few really good ones. I don't know. At the end of the day, Jay, I hope they make more money because I hope everybody makes more money, but I'm not going to watch them anymore if they're playing for twice as much money. It doesn't really matter to me.
No. No, I just mean in the terms, you know, my girl, dad, I know that, my daughter's in the workplace. It's never been a better time to be a woman in the workplace, but it's still not, they're still not getting dollar to dollar to the men.
But I think there's other things we can talk about another time, but, you know, you've got some of the best players ever just walked away from the game because they wanted to do other things as far as, you know, families and stuff, you know. So, you know, if Tiger would have walked away halfway through his career, if Phil would have walked away halfway through his career, I think that would have hurt the tour. I know it would have hurt the tour. We know it would have hurt the guy's tour. Lorena Ochoa, she walked away. She wanted to get married and have a family.
Yep. Annika that's cut her career much shorter than we would have expected.
It was good for them. I mean, it's fantastic that they had the opportunity to do that. But when you're talking about building a brand and getting followers, and you have the top people in your given sport, Michael Jordan walks away two-thirds of the way through his career. Kobe Bryant, two-thirds of the way through his career. It's going to change what money's coming in. So, I mean, relative to, again, I think who's paying attention, I think I'm sure the money is probably correct relative to that. And I don't know what they do about those other brand issues, but you can't just take your top draw people and have them disappear suddenly and expect everything to be okay financially.
Yeah, and so what it does is it tells you what sort of challenges, yeah. A, that tour has, and B, the player has. So this woman's going to say, what the hell, I'm going to keep playing golf and forego a family? Yeah. I mean, who the hell wants to have to choose that,
well,
which is what the men don't have to do.
But the ladies don't have to do that. There's plenty of ladies that can have a family, and doesn't Julie Engstrom have a family? And she kept playing, and she's coaching.
Right. Well,
it's
choice. But it's a personal thing. Like, Julie has felt like she could do that with the support that she had or where she lived. You know, there's a lot of things that go with that.
We know
that.
Plenty of guys playing mini tours that didn't quite make it, or journeymen. They quit because it was too tough on their families. So, I mean, it goes both ways. I understand what you're saying. It's more so for the ladies. But there's still those challenges both sides.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that I didn't have to bear the children. That's a whole when you make your living playing.
Oh, that's not that big a deal.
Whoo! Thank God we're not live meat. Well, that's going to wrap up the back nine. We've got an episode of Whack and Chase. Come back and listen to Matt. This is a good one. But that was the back nine brought to you by St. Louis Bank. Come back for the 19th hole. This is Golf with Jay Delsing.
The 100,000-watt blowtorch for St. Louis sports, driven by Auto Centers Nissan, home of the 30-day return. WXOS and WXOS HD1, East St. Louis, 101 ESPN.
In 1975, Pro-Am Golf began providing golf equipment to companies in the incentive and rewards industry. Now, some 48 years later, Pro-Am Golf is still the leader there, but there is so much more. They now have their own retail outlet, as well as state-of-the-art computers and cameras that customize all of your personal fitting needs. Pro-Am Golf carries all of the major brands, from Titleist, Callaway, Ping, and TaylorMade, to the latest fashion trends by Puma Golf. Whatever your needs, Pro-Am Golf will meet them and add the very best customer service in the industry. Call them at 314-781-7775 or find them at proamgolfctr.com.
This is Dan McLaughlin, TV voice of the Cardinals. St. Louis is one of the best sports cities in the country. We also have a tremendous history of supporting professional golf. We're excited to bring golf back to St. Louis with the inaugural Ascension Charity Classic, September 28th through October 4th at Norwood Hills Country Club. Don't miss your chance to see PGA Tour champion legends. Proceeds will benefit St. Louis area youth, including the Urban League, Marygrove, the Boys and Girls Club, and more. For tickets and sponsorship information, head to AscensionCharityClassic.com.
It's time to get the scoop on the St. Louis golf scene. Here's Jay and Kurt Rowey with the Metropolitan Minute.
Hey, Jay. Good morning, listeners. Hey, this is a big week coming up this week, the first week of March for the Metropolitan Golf Association. First off, score posting starts today, March 1. So if you get out there and are able to play today and you're a member of the Golf Association, make sure you get those first scores posted, and we'll start to see those handicap indexes change in the season. And secondly, this week is the opening of registrations for Metropolitan Championships and our Amateur Series events. They will open tomorrow, March 2nd at 9 a.m. So you can get in, get out there, get into the website, metga.org, and check out our schedule of events, and you can start registering for any of our Metropolitan Championships and our Amateur Series. And for those that haven't done it yet or are still looking for a home and a way to be a member, check out the Metropolitan eClub. It's also available on the website at www.metga.org.
The Metropolitan Amateur Golf Association helps support this show, Golf with Jay Delsing, and they do so much for we golfers here in St. Louis. Let me tell you about a strength training program that helped me, and it can improve your golf game and overall fitness as well. And all it takes is 20 minutes once a week. 20 Minutes to Fitness targets the muscle groups used in golf. Because you work with a trainer on physical therapy equipment, it also reduces the chance of exercise-related injuries to almost zero. But don't take my word for it. Try it yourself. Your first session is absolutely free. 20 Minutes to Fitness is in Clayton and Chesterfield. To learn more, visit 20MinutesToFitness.com. 20 Minutes to Fitness. It works for me.
USA Mortgage is doing it again. Joe Scheeser and his staff have lowered rates again this month, and they will waive closing costs if you want to refinance to get cash out, lower your rate, shorten your term, or eliminate that costly, unnecessary mortgage insurance.
If you are purchasing a property, they can issue a pre-approval letter within minutes. They are the largest mortgage company in the state of Missouri, and their volume allows them to quote the lowest rates. Don't waste your time with the national online brokers. USA Mortgage is employee-owned and operated right here in St. Louis. USA Mortgage has closed over $500 million in loans in nearly 30 years in the business and over $2 million alone to Delsings.
Grab your friends, a cold one, and pull up a chair. We're on to the 19th hole on Golf with Jay Delsing.
The 19th hole is brought to you by the Metropolitan Amateur Golf Association.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Pearlie and I are in the 19th hole. We're going straight to this Whack and Chase episode we got Matt on.
Jay, John, the people need your help. This week, it's Matt who's on the line for Whack and Chase.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Oh, hey, I'm doing great. Hey, thank you guys for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. And I actually have a couple
questions about... Whoa, wait a second, Matt. Slow down a little bit.
Matt,
we got a system
Pearlie gets
here.
Very
we,
sensitive
we,
if you don't talk.
A system
Pearlie
here.
Pearlie loves hearing the sound of his own voice, and if you jump at the gun like that, he's going to not be happy.
Matt, we need to know a couple quick things about you. Where are you from?
Okay, I'm originally from Springfield, Illinois, but I live in Chesterfield now.
All right, Chesterfield. And what's your handicap?
Oh, my God. My game is in shambles. I don't even know what my handicap is. I'm kind of an anomaly, John. I love to watch the sport and watch the pros, but I'm not as big of a player
awesome.
As I am a watcher of the sport.
Fan of the sport. Well, we like that. That's a little bit unique. So thank you for indulging me in those questions to kind of get things kicked off here. What is your question for Jay?
Yeah. So, first of all, Jay, I've known you for a few years now, and I've always admired the fact that in the sport that I call the purest sport in the world, where if you don't crack the top 125 every year, you are not going to get your tour card, and you did that for over 20 years. I find that to be so impressive and amazing. So, congrats to you for that.
Oh, well, thanks, Matt. We need to have Matt call in.
Wait a second.
Am I related to you?
Matt, are you impressed with the consistency?
But so, John and Jay, here's my kind of question that I'm curious about.
No, you got to answer my question first. Gosh dang it, Matt. Now, hang on a second. Are you impressed with the consistency? Is that what you're saying, his consistency over 20 years?
Yes.
Now, you don't bring up my consistency about the tour, though. Why don't you do that?
But wait, so, John, I'm about to get into your consistency.
Okay, because just for the fact of the matter, Jay had his card for 20 years in a row. I didn't have my card for 20 years in a row. So we have that in common.
Right.
That's okay. Consistent.
It is.
Right.
It's so consistent. And you guys, here's what I've kind of admired about the whole tour. You guys both have been a team, and I've always been curious about this. The relationship between the caddy and the golfer, where it's 100% commission, and that caddy is reliant on his golfer to make his living. And when you get that 10% of the golfer's earnings, I just feel like it's wrought with the potential for some, hey, I want to upgrade to a better pro to try to make more.
And that's true. You got that right, Matt. You know a lot about the game. That's a great call. Heck yeah, we all want to always upgrade. Consistency, if you look at it, doesn't do you a heck of a lot of good on this tour. You want guys that are out there winning money. I'm not looking for a guy that's out there keeping his card for 20 years.
Matt, do you know how many times I offered Pearlie services to some of my fellow pros?
Hey, and Matt, be careful on throwing around those percentages. It's 10% if you win. So, that unfortunately, that doesn't happen very often. And let's see, on the times I was out there, it happened, zero. So, I never saw 10%. And hey, for the record, I never saw 6 or 7% either. I think I got a sleeve of golf balls and a pat on the back and some free breakfast, I think is what the deal was.
But wait, Jay.
He was still overpaid, Matt.
Jay, did you ever feel pressure because you were basically putting food on John's table by how you performed?
Well, you know, that's interesting. Not necessarily with John because he was a really successful business guy that came out and caddy for me, you know, for different reasons. But
my wife, if that was the case, Matt, my wife should not have allowed me to caddy.
And you know what? Sally, who's a wonderful woman, wouldn't speak to me if that were the case. But no, Matt, to your point, with some of the other professional caddies that did this thing for a living.
There we go, slamming me again. Go ahead.
It was a big deal. I mean, when we first started in the 80s, it was, I felt like a lot of the caddies pro were just coming out and they were just hanging out, and this was
just
something
to do. You're picking them up in
the parking lot. Right, we'd pick them up in the parking lot. They'd get a couple hundred bucks for the week for carrying the bag and then a percentage on top of it. But that isn't how it is now. I mean, these guys, it's huge amounts of money. The caddies are making $200,000-$400,000 a year. You know, they're in their 20s hanging out with one of their buddies who happens to be a world-class golfer, and they're just banking serious dollars here.
A great question. So in the earlier years, what kind of allegiance or what kind of concern did you have, if any? That, you know, they're growing.
No, I
did.
I mean, I had my rookie year, I had a steady caddy, Brad Whittle, great guy. And I think at one point in time, I missed like seven cuts in a row, and like six of them were by a stroke. I mean, he was kind of balding anyway, but we were pulling our hair out, and his was working. Mine just kept growing back. But so what I would do is, you know, I'd give him an extra, back in the day, it wasn't
$10.
I'd give him an extra quarter. No, I'd give him an extra 50 or 100 bucks. And
you didn't have any money either.
I mean, you had
a bunch of kids, and you had a bunch of things going on.
Let's be honest. Well, I didn't have any kids in 85, but we didn't.
It was better for the story if you just acknowledged.
Okay, I had several kids and a couple of wives, and everything was in complete shambles off the course. And so when I gave him an extra $50, man, I had multiple wives and kids pissed off at me. How's that?
That's way better. Good job, Jay.
Okay, we'll do anything for ratings. So, one of the things that I'm either blessed with or just cursed with is that. I'm not a worrier, you know. So if I had to worry about my caddy eating, much less me eating, oh my God, I'd been like, somebody's gonna have to give me this 3-foot putt because I cannot make it. So I really didn't think that much of it at the time.
That's an awesome question, though, Matt.
And would you guys say a caddy in today's era is required to know more than a caddy 20 or 30 years ago? Are these all former players that played at a high level that really are bringing something to the table?
You're going to get to listen to Mark Long, right. Matt, on our show, because we talked specifically about that. Mark Long is a caddy. He caddied for 25 years. I think he had 13 wins, one with Fred Funk, and won the Players' Championship. And now these caddies are really good players. Some of them had cards at one time. But in my generation, no. There was a little looser crowd.
There were some guys that can play, but there's some that couldn't.
Yep.
But it obviously gravitated, and as it is today, where most of them were good players. And then they started putting the statistics out a couple weeks ago. How many guys have actually played on the tour that are now caddying?
Right.
I mean, they have tour cards.
It's crazy.
It's getting kind of crazy that way. But I think it speaks. I think it's one. I know it's one way. If Jay and I were just buddies and I wasn't a player, it would have been a completely different thing. I knew how to play a little bit. I certainly knew Jay's game from having played. So I could tap into that. And he could look at me and know that, you know, I've got a clue what we're talking about with this snuck shot or what the options were or what this lie meant.
That meant the world to me. I mean, John was an All-American in college and played professional golf himself, Matt. And that there's just certain situations where you're not really sure what. You're not really sure what this ball's going to do out of this lie or this condition, or you're doing the best job you can to try to figure out what this shot's going to play, and the wind's blowing all over the place. And
so whether it's
like
golf or business, you want somebody that has some experience that can kind of, you know, speak to that you can lean on a little bit. And I think that's why all the players are doing it. They're leaning because the guy's some kind of a friend a lot of times these days, but he's also a player. So there's that combination.
Right. But Matt, I will tell you, one of the things that John and I did so well when we were together was we're committed. We did not leave stuff flying around. And when I was trying out new caddies and things like that, it was the first thing that I needed, someone that could be strong and tell me with conviction. You know, if you're coming down the stretch trying to win a tournament, and you're between a four iron and a five iron or something, and you hear this indecision in your caddy's voice, it sucks.
Yeah, can't happen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot, Matt, for that. I hope that answers some of the questions. And that was unique to Whack and Chase, but it was wonderful talking to you, and appreciate the idea.
Yeah, Matt, and keep listening. And typically we say if we helped you, you know, tell everybody you know, and if we didn't help you, tell them we never met. But
it was fun listening to Whack and Chase. That's what I guess we'd say to you.
Keep tuning in.
Hey, I appreciate both of you guys, and I enjoy listening to your show.
Thanks, Matt. Have a great day.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
That's some great questions by Matt. Really diving into your world there, talking about caddies, and you looking to switch bags. And you were so happy to caddy for me all the time. I mean,
I was happy to caddy for you, and that's I love that. It's Whack and Chase and Caddy Tales all wrapped in one. That's perfect. That to me is what this is about. There's so many great stories.
Yep.
From that caddy side.
Yep. So, well, that's going to do it for another show. Pearly, welcome back.
Absolutely.
It's great to have you back. It was a lot of fun. Meet, thanks for all you do, and I don't know how you do it, but keep doing it, and we will talk to you next week. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Hit 'em straight, St. Louis.
That was Golf with Jay Delsing, brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Tune in next Sunday for more from Jay, John, and the other pros and experts from the golf world. In the meantime, you can find all of Jay's shows at 101ESPN.com as well as at jdelsinggolf.com.